Good Monday and welcome to today's edition, the first edition of A Very Good Monday, and welcome to this year's first edition of the My Daily Ag Life News Report podcast. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Today is Almond Monday, and this Almond News segment is being brought to you by Bee Vectoring Technology. To sign up for a field trial, email contact at beevt.com. Taylor Chalstrom will start the show off with an Almond News industry report right after this. Let your bees carry a beneficial biofungicide directly to flowers and reduce brown rot, blossom blight, and jacket rot. Sign up for a field trial of bee vectoring and the biofungicide Vectorite with CR7 on your almond orchard. Deadline is January 15th for setup and use at the start of your February bloom. Email contact at beevt.com.
Almond growers are one of the prime examples of the ag industry adopting more efficient technologies over the years. Saas said that one of the most important technologies the industry has seen so far is micro-irrigation, such as micro-sprinklers or drip, compared to the old standard of flooding or large sprinklers.
By targeting water application directly to the tree's roots instead of uniformly across the field, farmers conserve water and create other operational efficiencies. So that's through time when this technology has been adopted. And nowadays nearly 80% of almond farms actually has this type of micro irrigation systems. And over the past two decades, California almond farmers have successfully reduced the amount of water used to grow a pound of almonds by 33% via improved production practice and adoption of this efficient micro-irrigation technology.
Of course, there is more than just micro-irrigation at growers' fingertips for improving a water use efficiency.
Growers use water stations to estimate how much water is needed by the plant given the current weather conditions. Or growers also use flow meters, for instance, to define exactly how much water they have applied to their management units. They also use soil sensors that allow them to estimate the amount of water available to the plant in the soil. And they also, some of them use tree sensors, such as the pressure chamber that tells the farmers if the tree is beyond a certain level of stress or beyond a certain threshold. There are even irrigator calculators that have been developed like softwares to compute how much water to apply, like the one that we have and we offer to our growers as part of our California Almond Sustainability Program. So right now, I would like to extend an invitation to everybody listening to this podcast to visit our Almond website, learn more about this California Almond Sustainability Program and make use of this irrigator calculator and the other tools that we have developed.
Almond growers, like Saw said, have used these methods and more to reduce the amount of water it takes to grow a pound of almonds by 33% over the past two decades. However, they haven't been able to do this alone. Almond Board of California has played a significant role in this effort through extension and research.
In terms of extension, we have made a big effort to facilitate adoption of best irrigation practices. Specifically, working together with irrigation experts in the last 3 years, we developed the Almond Irrigation Improvement Continuum Program. And it's based on learning from our latest research results, as well as experience of farm advisors and specialists. So thanks to this program, nowadays, we can provide online resources as well as a comprehensive manual that provides a sort of a roadmap for California almond farmers to accelerate adoption of research-based water-efficient practice and technology. And we will continue to build and amplify this program in the years to come, for sure. So in terms of research, we have developed together with our stakeholders, and when I talk about our stakeholders, I talk about our strategic ag innovation community, about our irrigation, nutrient, soil health work group. We have together developed a strategy, a plan in irrigation that will help us to develop this orchard of the future. This plan identifies in details our research priorities to build to find or solve the questions necessary to move our industry forward, to move the needle, as we like to say it. So, and among these priorities that we discuss, we realize that there is need for more research to evaluate things like water sensors, three water sensors. There are water sensors around in the market, and there are new ones coming up. So evaluation of these three water sensors, will be desired. We also there's a new technology that is evolving called actual ET evapotranspiration, actual tree evapotranspiration, that also should be evaluated through a research third-party validation, so growers can have validated and trustable data in that area. And the potential benefits to forecast yield early in the season, it's also another area of research, of novelty, that we think could bring innovations.
The Almond Board, Saw said, also aims to play a catalytic role in the adoption and implementation of irrigation technologies.
I think that our board, the Almond Board of California, has a role to play in, for instance, promoting the development and of application programs interfaces, which are called API, to allow multiple hardware and software technologies to integrate. We also think that we have a role where we develop a standard glossary to almonds, for almonds, for key variables, Unix, and technical terminology, kind of like a vocabulary that everybody can interact. So this will facilitate the development of better hardware and software technologies from different entities. I think we have a role also where we could support this third-party testing, the validation, and the demonstration of commercial precision irrigation technology to increase grower confidence and adoption, so they can see how it works or growers can adopt it.
SAW sees a number of hardware and software technologies being implemented currently by almond growers, and he sees those technologies changing even more in the future.
There is a fair amount of softwares and sensors in the marketplace that collect data such as weather data, satellite images, or values of soil water content, tree water status, as well as different platforms that help to define how many hours to irrigate a certain almond plot, when to irrigate it, etc. So that said, what I see in the future is a better and more holistic integration of this platform, so that the recommendations to our growers are more straightforward, but at the same time, use a comprehensive set of information to be generated. And I think that's the future. I think the integration is the key. I would say that a key component of improving the precision of irrigation management is better measuring almond tree water demand, the how much to apply question. We have done so through the potential crop evapotranspiration, the ETC. That is the most commonly used standard for measuring the water needs of the tree, the calculation of crop evapotranspiration, ETC. And while ETC is the widely adopted standard, this technique can lead to potential errors given the use of reference values instead of on-site values. And the development of technology that directly measures the evapotranspiration of almond orchards, called actual ET, will likely significantly improve our precision in this area. I think we are working toward that end by leveraging the expertise of the research community. We're coordinating with entities such as CDFA, the Specialty Crop Programs, EDF, the Environmental Defense Funds, NASA, and Google, among others. So to move this boat forward in this journey.
As Saw previously mentioned, yield forecasting will also be key to guiding irrigation decisions in the future, but more research needs to be done to create a viable approach.
Nowadays, most of irrigation decisions are guided by crop evapotranspiration values, as I was mentioning before, ETC, which do not directly incorporate the yield variable into the equation. So that said, yield forecasting does not necessarily guide irrigation decisions nowadays. We need to first be able to forecast correctly. So that's why we're doing research. But once we're able to predict yield early in the season, we believe that we could gain, there is room for water saving then. We could tune even more those equations and be more precise on how much water to apply. So as I said, we believe there is room for water saving from and not only from an economics perspective, but also from a tree physiology point of view. So we're interested in finding the, this is a little bit specific, but I think it's worth to mention, we're interested in finding the breaking point between tree water demand and the tree energy needed to support predicted yields early in the season. So when we are able to do that, we envision that those results in this area will provide the means to make decisions on how much to irrigate given a certain crop load, and thus translate into water saving capacities. This will be like a huge milestone in my opinion, and I hope it happens. We would like to further explore this question from a physiological point of view in terms of how water use is driven by yield without reducing yield potential, which is always defined at fruit set, nor affecting the quality of almond bud for the subsequent season. So we want to save water, but at the same time, be able to produce what the tree it's aiming to produce. And this new concept, that is a concept that I have to say we have not studied in the past, at least from this angle, as I have just described it. And we, in fact, have an open request for proposals in this area. We have sent an email to the research community. We have pondered this question, and we really look forward to reviewing interesting proposals in this and perhaps develop a potential innovation in terms of water use efficiency.
These research focuses will, of course, require grower data to be successful, and the California Almond Sustainability Program aggregates data from growers for researchers and companies to continue developing cutting-edge technologies.
This data, I would say, provides valuable insights and areas for improvement to us. So by looking at the general trends, we can see, for instance, how new technology is being adopted and then make interpretations about it. We recently analyzed our irrigation model as part of our California Almond Sustainability under that view when we were working with our stakeholders to develop our strategic plan in this area. And we observe interesting results that assist us to develop our research as well as extension priorities. So those research points that I was talking about, those extension priorities, this catalytic role that I was mentioning, is not random. It comes from a thorough analysis of this type of data, of this aggregated data. For instance, the low adoption of the pressure chamber in this data, when we look at it all together, we saw that there was a low adoption of the pressure chamber, 31% of adoption, to be precise, after years of outreach. And so that speaks to us that we need to look for more user-friendly devices that could provide plant water status data. The data that it's there, it's very rich in terms of stem water potential. It's the user-friendly, since the user-friendly component seems to be the barrier of adoption. So we learn things like that with that program. Another example will be that the fact that the irrigation decisions are significantly influenced by the water district schedules. So by looking at this data, we conclude that, yeah, decisions are significantly influenced by the water district schedule, and not only by what is best from a horticulture point of view. So it's growers have to ponder many factors, not only horticulture factors, but also influence from the district, for instance. So this, to us, justifies the need for a more integrative software. And, you know, there are more examples, but I think those are two concrete examples that really illustrate how looking at the overall trends, we can take smart decisions looking forward.
This segment was sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, working together to advance the industry. Together, we can do more.
Stay tuned for today's regional and national news.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Trichlor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
In regional news, the Department of Water Resources has released its first phase of awards to 20 projects through the Urban and Multi-Benefit Drought Relief Grant Program. The funding awards will provide critical support to communities across the state dealing with the impacts of drought conditions. Authorized by the Budget Act of 2021, the Urban and Multi-Benefit Drought Relief Grant Program was allotted $200 million to assist communities facing the loss or contamination of their water supplies due to drought, to help address immediate drought impacts on human health and safety, and protect fish and wildlife resources. Response to this grant program was overwhelming, with 147 projects submitted for funding in the first phase. 14 of the 20 projects awarded will benefit disadvantaged communities and tribes. For more information on the program, log on to drought.ca.gov. And according to producebluebook.com, rain is expected to keep down California strawberry supplies as new year demand for the fruit begins its annual pull. According to a report from Marken Cooperative, West Coast supplies should remain extremely limited well into January due to persistent rain. Harvesting is being limited and sometimes completely missed. Meanwhile, volume from Mexico and Florida is rising seasonally. Prices have fallen slightly through December and now sit at just below $20 per flat of 8 1-pound containers for conventional strawberries from all production regions. According to USDA, prices were about $4 lower per flat at the same time last year. In other regional news here today, the Western Ag Producers Association recently coordinated and participated in a meeting with various agricultural-related groups to talk about concerns regarding the concept of zero-emission forklifts. One major concern is the applicability of the rule. The staff explained the difference between agricultural operations, which operate seasonally, and other businesses, like a distributing warehouse, that operate year-round and have the ability to pass along costs. The areas discussed were applicability, costs, opposition to registration requirements, rough terrain forklift, and incentive programs. The meeting included two site visits to an almond processor and a cotton gin. The on-site visits illustrated the true cost of converting forklift fleets to all-electric, employee safety considerations when dealing with lead-acid batteries, the facility upgrades needed, the need for rough terrain forklifts at processing facilities, and the importance of incentive funding. The association will continue the dialogue and work with staff on the issue. The next workshop will be held on February of 2022. Just before Christmas, Dole Fresh Vegetables announced a recall for salads processed at its Bessemer City, North Carolina, and Yuma, Arizona facilities due to listeria that was found in random tests at the facilities. The company is estimating the one-off cost associated with this temporary suspension will be between $15 to $25 million. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey discusses the potential of an expanding cold wave impacting winter crops in parts of California and the desert Southwest.
Another thing we'll have to watch heading into the New Year's weekend is the cold air reaching quite far south into the western United States, to the point that we may have to be concerned with freezes into areas that are normally temperate, such as California, San Joaquin Valley, and even into some of the coastal valleys of California, as well as the desert Southwest. So winter crop producers, including citrus, may have to monitor this cold outbreak as it deepens later this week across the western United States.
Once again, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. The Environmental Protection Agency has finalized new greenhouse gas emission standards for passenger cars and light trucks without including requirements that could have increased the use of ethanol. The rule updates GHG emission standards through model year 2026. The EPA missed an opportunity by not including a pathway to high-octane fuels like higher-level blends of ethanol in the final rule, that according to Rob LaRue, National Farmers Union president. He says NFU has long advocated for increased use of biofuels due to their tremendous environmental benefit and the much-needed market alternatives and economic stability that biofuels provide to America's farming and rural communities. The new year will see inflation rates that will continue to impact the food industry and cause prices to rise at grocery stores across the country. Research firm IRI says food prices are estimated to rise by 5% during the first half of 2022. However, the level of increases will depend on each grocery store and its location. The IRI report says price increases are showing up in everyday items like breakfast meats, frozen poultry, and pet food. Prices of produce like potatoes and celery are expected to increase because of higher freight costs. Fortune.com says other factors contributing to the jump in the price of food are higher oil prices and companies that have to pass on the cost of more expensive transportation. Major food distribution companies recently announced price hikes heading into 2022. General Mills, Kraft Heinz, and others are raising prices on candy, cereal, Jell-O, and many other products. The Musco Family Olive Company is leading the transformation of the table olive industry. We are committed to the California olive grower and invite you to grow with our family. Modern table olive orchards apply newly perfected state-of-the-art planting and harvesting to one of the world's oldest tree crops for proven superior results. There is opportunity in any crop transition, and Musco is proud to offer long-term contracts and free trees to our grower partners. Visit us at the Agro Malora booth at the upcoming Calusa Farm Show and the World Ag Expo. See you there. Information from California Citrus Mutual right after this.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Trichlor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
Today I visit with Casey Creamer. He is President and Chief Executive Officer of California Citrus Mutual. Casey, to get us started, what would you say are the biggest issues that you are monitoring on behalf of growers at your organization?
Well, I think number one right now at top of mind, and this is because it's so citrus specific, is the marketing and trade issues. We've seen continuing large amounts of imports coming into the United States. The trend is growing. We're becoming less and less counter-seasonal, and that affects the marketplace for growers here. And with rising costs to do business in California, it gets harder and harder to make a living out of this. And so the pricing and marketing, while we're not a marketing organization, we don't handle pricing. We've got some fairly large marketing organizations who are involved in that. We bring the industry together to work on these issues collectively and to share information and hopefully push prices up for growers. The bottom line is we represent growers and pushing those costs of production, making sure everybody knows what the cost of production is. The trends that we're seeing in the future allows growers to have educated conversations with their marketing organizations and really make good decisions, sound decisions on what they should grow and what the future looks like.
Casey, that being said, how is California Citrus Mutual helping growers to navigate their way through some of these trade issues that they are struggling with?
Yeah, I mean, we're just mainly bringing the industry together. I would say that's the big part of it. Large, small, you know, different commodities, whether it's lemons or mandarins or oranges or grapefruit. So there's just a lot of different variation and just bringing the industry together.
Casey, as you mentioned, your organization helps to bring growers together to talk about these issues, to network on these issues. Where do those conversations then go from there?
Well, if we're talking about the marketplace, it's, you know, it helps the growers have those conversations with their packing house, right? What's my fruit going to return for me? What quality do I have? What season do I have? After, you know, yes, we can do a broad industry analysis of the cost impacts and the trends, but the grower is going to have the more detailed information. You know, what's the price that I'm receiving for my particular variety, the time of year, am I more impacted by imports or less impacted by imports? And then where are my costs going in the future? And what are the future forecasts for that commodity with the packing house? Is this a growing trend in a positive direction, or is this in a lessening trend? And it equips the grower with the ability, hopefully, it's our hope that to make those decisions on what to plant in the future, how much to plant, or potentially to taking out non-profitable orchards as well.
Casey Creamer, President and Chief Executive Officer of California Citrus Mutual, will hear more from him in this interview in upcoming episodes. Until then, we call it a show for today. Thanks for tuning in to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer from the JCS Marketing team. Thank you for listening.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That concludes our show for today. This is the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer from the JCS Marketing team. Thanks for listening.